The Christmas season is over, but the story of the Christ child continues. Today is the first Sunday after Epiphany, the visitation of the Magi or wise men. Sometimes the Magi are referred to as kings, as reference to in Psalm 72. The kings of Tarshish and the Isles render him tribute. And may the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations give him service. This is most likely why the terminology of kings entered the Nativity story. But in truth, in most all versions of the Bible, Matthew refers to them as either magi or wise men, which gives a totally different meaning to their visit. Magi or wise men were actually students of the stars, astronomy, students of history and religion. They were the academia of the day. Being students of the stars, they were able to immediately observe a strange, bright star in the night sky. Now, from their religious knowledge, they were able to interpret the phenomena as a special announcement by God that a king had been born. With their background in religious studies, they figured this to be the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. It is important to note that they themselves were probably not Jews, but came from the East, a land of the Gentiles. God had already revealed the special child to the Jews through Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Elizabeth, and Zechariah. Now it was to the Gentiles through the wise men that he would be revealed. From the very beginning, God made known that his son, the messenger of the good news, was not only for the Jews, but for all the world. Of course, it was not only Jesus who would practice this message to those outside of Judaism. Paul would later bring this to fruition. But it was the wise men, though, who would first signal this intention of the good news for all people. Upon seeing the phenomena in the night skies, the wise men were compelled to follow that star in order to locate the king that they knew had just been born. Upon finding the child, they experienced their epiphany. God had manifested the Christ child to them in tribute, recognition, and thanksgiving. They laid before the child gifts which would foretell the child's future life. The gift of gold foretold his special kingship of a new kind of Messiah. They gave frankincense, which was believed to be the fragrance of divinity. Finally, the gift of myrrh was given, the perfume used in the preparation of the dead, symbolic of suffering and death. With these symbolic gifts, the wise men showed that they understood the meaning of the birth of Jesus. This was their epiphany, for they realized that this birth would bring mankind a new life, a new hope. Upon their experience, they were able to see that this child was God's answer to a restless, weary people who were lost in despair and condemnation. A people who existed not knowing if their God was really a God of love and forgiveness. The epiphany was far from being over, though, with the visit of the wise men. 8 days after birth, all male babies had to be circumcised, which was carried forth with Jesus. At this time, he was given the name of Jesus as instructed to Joseph by God through his angel. The significance of this event is that Jesus was truly born into the history and religious traditions of the ancient Hebrews. But 40 days later, we come the next epiphany. It was the epiphany experienced by Simeon at the ceremony of redemption of the firstborn and the purification of Mary. Simeon was a resident of Jerusalem who, according to Luke, had found favor with God and was filled with the Holy Spirit. God had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. On the day of the ceremonies of redemption and purification, Simeon was led by God to the temple. It was here that his epiphany was experienced. He saw the child and knew the promise had been fulfilled, which God gave him. He asked to hold the child. He took the child in his arms and said, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, and for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Then Simeon turned to Mary. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed and his sword will pierce your own soul also. At the same time, Anna, an aged prophet in the temple, experienced the epiphany also. She came to the family and began to praise God and spoke about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The epiphany of all these people foretold the life which was to come. Now all this happened in front of Mary and Joseph. They must have sensed the huge responsibility they had. They had had to know that their child was very special, but they seemed to have taken it all in stride and showed no signs of a personal epiphany. 12 years later, more would be revealed to them. It was when Jesus was taken to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Jesus lingered behind in the temple and astonished everyone with his understanding of God. The family started their journey home, not knowing Jesus was not with the traveling crowd. When it was discovered that Jesus was among the missing, they retraced their steps and eventually ended back in the temple where they found him. Their first reaction was very normal, for they scolded him. Now to this, Jesus replied, "Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" It is said that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Still, she still was an incomplete understanding, though. You know, somehow parents never really accurately see or understand their children. They are shielded from the total reality since they are their children's protectors. And in many cases, alter egos. This brings us to our celebration of the day, the baptism of Jesus. I really do not have the time to go too deeply into why Jesus had to be baptized. That becomes a theological treatise in and of itself. Suffice it to say that this was his ultimate identity with mankind. If others were to be baptized in order to receive God's forgiveness, it was far more than this for Jesus. More was to happen at this event than his baptism. It was at this time his reassurance, his epiphany occurred to say, God manifested himself upon the baptism. The heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. The epiphany at his baptism began his ministry. So it is with us. God has manifested himself to us through our baptism. Even though we were infants and don't remember the event, we know that the Holy Spirit, God's presence, entered our lives and has been with us. We became and are the children of God, the people of God, those who walk in the light. Being baptized and living in the light does not preclude that we have received our last epiphany. It does mean that God manifests himself to us throughout our lives. We need only to recognize and accept these manifestations of his presence. These are the experiences which give us growth in living the love of the life in Christ. These are the experiences in which we know God is saying to us, You are my child in whom I am well pleased. And he says that to us every day. You are my child in whom I am well pleased. This is God's gift to us. For we are promised his love throughout eternity. The light of the star which led the wise men is the same light which leads us to our continuing epiphanies in life. As individuals and as a family of believers, the church, we must share this light. Epiphany Lutheran Church must not be in name only, but it must continue to be the living epiphany within the life of the world in which we live. I know that everyone here has the desire to be that light. It is up to each of us to help one another to have our desire realized. We have in the past let our light shine as we share our love and compassion through the angel tree. This has been an epiphany to the church at large. But the love we have to share does not stop with this endeavor. There are new epiphanies to discover and then to live and share. We have so much more to do, so much more to share. As long as we follow the light which radiates from the Nativity, we will have the will and the strength to share the joy of the life of our epiphanies of God's love, which have become a part of our lives. This is who we are. This is the continuing joy of the Nativity. This is the epiphany. You and myself alike. Amen.